Okay, welcome everyone to today's session of the networking and mentorship of the Big Apple Film Festival this summer. Today's mentor is Alyssa Friedman, and she's a manager, and she's going to be talking today about pitch decks. It's a Q&A, so if you guys can feel free to ask questions anytime. You could put your question in the chat, or you can, you know, just say you want to talk, and I'll raise your hand, and I'll have you talk directly to Alyssa. So I guess let's get started. Alyssa, you would like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm currently a manager at Zero Gravity Management, but I haven't been a manager for very long. I've only been a manager for about a year. And prior to that, I was a development executive for many, many years. So I ran production and development for a feature financing company. And we made, you know, a bunch of films. And, you know, loved my job. It was a really great experience. And then right before the pandemic, that company closed down that I worked for. And I had one of those, I was living in LA, by the way. And then I had a mid-pandemic kind of like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I'm so far away from my family because I'm originally from the East Coast, and decided I wanted to move back and started looking for opportunities where I could, you know, either work from home or be in New York. And I ended up, you know, making the switch to management, and I love it. I feel like I've really like found my purpose. I love development too, but this is so much, it uses all of the skills that I, you know, had when I was a development executive. I feel like I'm basically doing the same job, but instead of doing it for a company, I'm doing it for my individual clients. And then I also get to produce, which is what I love to do. So I love being a manager. I have writer and director clients, and and that's basically, you know, that's basically my spiel.
Sounds good. Interesting. Are you, and so we're going to talk today about pitch decks. So I guess you get to see, you know, when people come in and pitch you, you get to see a lot of pitch decks or hear their pitches and things like that. So if you can kind of give us an idea of what goes into a pitch deck that's nowadays, I mean, I know there's a lot of visuals and things. So if you can just kind of give us a brief start.
Sure. Yes, I have a lot of thoughts on pitch decks. Pitch decks, you know, I now use them as tools to help sell my clients' projects. When I was a development executive, I would mostly receive pitch decks to look at, because I was on the financing side. So usually projects came to us, you know, when they were already, it had, you know, pitch decks made. So I think the one thing that is really great about my experience now is that I can really inform my clients on what executives like to see, because I was one of those executives. So I was getting the pitch decks, and, you know, I could definitely, there were some that I was like, oh wow, this is amazing pitch decks. And then there were other ones where I was like, not so great. And now I feel like I have the opportunity to kind of educate my clients on what I think a pitch deck should be. This is my opinion. There's no rule, you know? So I want to like make sure that I say that, because, you know, a pitch deck is just a visual representation of the project. And I'm going to speak mostly to the feature side, because on the series side, it's not really a pitch deck. It's more like a series Bible, and it's very different. So I'm really only going to be speaking on the feature side, because it's not it's a different thing on Siri. So for a feature, it's your visual representation of your script. And in my opinion, a pitch deck should be made by the director. Now, I think some writers, some producers will sometimes make pitch decks, and that's fine. But when you're going out to sell a film, the people that you're selling it to, they want to see the visual representation by the director. They don't really, because that's who is visually going to be, creating the film. So I think that's a really important note. Clearly, beyond just a visual representation, you're going to have, at some point, it's going to have the title, you're going to have the log line, you're going to have, a short synopsis, you're going to list out the different characters, your main cast, not every single character, just the main cast. And you could include any people who are attached to the project. I mean, it's good to keep that light, I list out at some point, this is the writer, the director. It's nice to have a little bit of their bio. And then you can just list out the producers. You don't really need to include too much about them. The one thing I'll also say about pitch decks, don't include anything about how you intend to make this movie, the financials of it. That is not what the pitch deck is for. And that shouldn't even be necessarily your job. I mean, essentially it is down the line, but the pitch deck itself, that's not what that's for. You don't need to work out, how much the budget is, where you're going to get your soft money from, how you're going to, finance, what kind of international sales you're going to get, what your distribution plan is going to be. That's not for the pitch deck. And I know some people like to include all of that in there. But it's really not necessary, because a lot of times when you're sending out your project, you're sending the script, you're sending your pitch deck, and then any other kind of talent attachments. So obviously there's, should be the director attached. If you have a pitch deck, the director made it. If you have any talent attached, you should, include that. And then whoever you're sending it to, they're the ones that are going to kind of work through that process themselves of okay, how would this movie get made? And you telling them is kind of counterproductive, because most of the time, I would say almost 100% of the time, someone sent me a pitch deck that had, this is how we're going to finance this film. I was like, no, that's not how you're going to finance this film. That doesn't make any sense. So definitely don't worry about including that stuff. The other thing that I would say that you would find in a pitch deck that I think is totally fine is kind of casting ideas, because again, a pitch deck should come from the director. And that is probably the number one question that any director is going to be asked is, who do you envision to be in this film? What's your dream cast? And that's who you want to put in the pitch deck. And, I think there's varying opinions as to how, high of a casting you should include in your pitch deck versus, the reality of who you're going to get in your film. But I think it's okay to show kind of an idea of the type of actor. So, if you had your leading male actor, and it is a Brad Pitt type, are you going to get Brad Pitt in your movie? Probably not. But I think it's okay to include him, and then maybe a couple other lesser caliber actors to kind of show that representation. But I would be very careful as to put people in who are, you know, like not very known at all, because that's not helpful. Especially like, I don't want to like see a pitch deck and have to be like, who is this person? I have to look this person up. What have they been in? You know, like that does not help. So it has to be recognizable names, because everyone knows, okay, you're not going to get Brad Pitt, but like, you know, we understand what your mindset is, but also like, we understand that one of the most important things in getting a project made is the level of casting that you can bring. And if you're already looking to cast your film with people that I've never even heard of, then like, you know, this sounds like it's not going to get made. So it's better to put people in your pitch deck as like, you know, your type of cast that you want, who you probably won't ever get, than it is to put people who, you know, might seem more realistic. So those are kind of like my big bullet points of like, you know, things that I feel about pitch decks. But yeah, I'm happy to like take any questions, and I have some examples too. I'm happy to share if you want me to like share my screen or something. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, I did want to ask, because you know, you said a director comes up with a pitch deck, but until you can get a director, is there a pitch deck? I mean, can you create a pitch deck for producers, for actors, you know, just for people, or to even get directors?
You know, I just, you know, the way I work, you know, like I would never have like one of my writers do a pitch deck, or the only, I can think of like one scenario. Where the writer did a pitch deck that I thought was actually helpful, because, and this might be my exception to the rule, it was a project that was based on IP that had a lot of visual imagery already. So he didn't have to create any kind of images or pull the images together. It's based on a comic book. So he was able to like take, you know, a lot of the images from the comic book and pull all that together. But there were some things that, you know, like he didn't put casting in there, like potential casting in there. He just had the synopsis. And it was really just to give some information on this comic book that the script was based on. And I do think that is helpful. I would say that would be one exception, where if it's based on some IP and you want to give some information as to, you know, like how successful that IP was, like if it's a book, like, oh, all the, you know, this is how many sales there have been, you know, I mean, that could be helpful. But yeah, for, you know, for what I tell my clients, and just, you know, for my producing purposes, like I always, if it's a script that's just, you know, like a spec script that one of my clients wrote, I don't ever have them, you know, I don't do a pitch deck. Let's go to directors. Directors will just read the script, and if they like it, they want to do it. You know, the pitch deck isn't going to be, they don't want to see someone else's visual representation. They're the director. They want to do that, you know? So yeah, mostly I would never have the writers do it, you know?
Okay. And even the producers.
Yeah. Even the producer. Cause the next thing is always to get the director attached, right? Like you never want to work backwards and try to get cast or try, you know, like, I mean, you could try to get, you know, financing if you have a property, you know, that is, you know, again, if it's IP based, that's another thing. Like, you know, you could potentially sell something with no attachments. That's just a script. You know, it's a lot easier to do that if you have underlying IP. You can, I mean, people occasionally sell spec scripts, but it's very rare these days. But if you have IP, it can, you know, it can happen.
So how would we, let's take a step back then. Like, how would we get a director to read our scripts? Is there like a place?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's, you know, there's essentially, you know, two ways to do it. You go through their reps, or you just go through, you know, connections, that personal connections, you know. Going through personal connections, like, I think is always easiest if you can do it, because a lot of reps, like myself included, like, you know, the first thing I'm going to ask you if you send me a script for one of my directors is, okay, great, is this financed, you know? And your answer is probably going to be no, you know, because a lot of times, you know, most of the time they're not, right? Like, if a director is getting attached to something, you know, to a script, like, it's probably not, it probably doesn't have financing yet. But that's always, like, you know, anything that has financing is going to be number one priority. Then my next question is going to be, great, who's producing this? You know, and if there's not a producer attached that I either know or have heard of, or, you know, can look their credits up and see that they've done a lot of stuff, I'm probably going to not push that one. I'm probably going to move that, you know, to the bottom of the pile. And it might not even ever get to my client if it's not worth it. But if you can get it through, you know, personal connections, you might actually get the director to read it with, you know, themselves. Mm-hmm. So I always say to my clients, like, if you have a personal connection, whether it's to, you know, directors or cast or, you know, like, use that, because that's always the best way. Because, you know, reps, myself, others included, we're kind of this boundary to entry, you know, and we don't always, you know, things don't always get past us.
Can I just piggyback off of that question? So, hi, thank you for doing this. Sorry, I was a bit late. I have a few, you know, personal connections, nothing to celebrate, but a friend of my sister's said, oh, I totally want to read your script, send it. And so I did send it, and then I didn't hear back from her. And then I followed back up, and, you know, she was like, oh, I'm so busy, I'm sorry, I'll get to it. And then she still hasn't read it yet. And I'm kind of like, how do I not be this obnoxious squeaky wheel, but still get somebody to do something?
I totally understand, because I've been on both sides of this. I have been the one who isn't reading, and like, I feel terrible because I'm like, oh my God, they sent me this thing. But like, I literally you know, right now, like, even now I have a list of 50 things that I'm supposed to read, you know? So it's just so hard. And then, you know, every day you get more and more. So it's just a constant, like, you know, prioritizing. And it's tough. That I have to say too, the ones that are lower on my priority list are always the ones that come through, like, just like my friends or like someone who's like, sure. Oh, hey, can you read this? And it's like, okay, yeah. Like, but then it's low on my list. So it's really hard. I don't think there's any amount of like poking you can do that's going to get this person to read it. Okay. That's just how I am. Like, it's like, you can poke me all you want. Like, you know, there's only so many hours in my day, you know, like,
yeah.
And I just, you know, and I think that you just kind of have to be patient, and, you know, they might not read it. And then you just got to cut your losses and try to, you know, go to the next, you know, the next plan. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Getting people to read anything, is really, really tough. Especially right now, we're in the middle of this strike, and, it's been even more tough because like, people don't, you know, they don't want to read out of solidarity. They don't, you know, like, it's tough. So
that's interesting. Has there been a greater influx of scripts, or it's just the opposite?
I mean, it depends on who you ask, because like in my case, my clients, you know, who are not WGA are very active and are writing, sure. but they're just not, you know, there's not a lot of places we can take it to, because even if you're not WGA, like you can't work with WGA signatory companies. And then my clients who are WGA are, I'm not even talking to, they're not doing anything because they're not supposed to. So right. there's not really, okay. there is and there isn't. Like, I think people are kind of trying to do what they can with what they have. And so if you are like from like my non-WGA clients, like that, like they're just sending me so much stuff. So I'm so busy with all their stuff. But if you're at working at like Paramount, you're not reading, like you barely have anything to read, you know, because they're like, you can't get scripts. You're not allowed to. So yeah, it's an interesting time, and it just really depends on which part of the industry you're in, you know?
Thank you. Hi, Alyssa. Tank here. I'm a writer director, and I'd love to see some of your examples of pitch decks that you have. That'd be great.
Absolutely. I purposely have like a folder, and I collect, you know, like throughout the years I've collected like just the ones that I've always liked, you know, because I think it's so valuable to be able to share, especially with my clients, like, you know, here are really good pitch decks. So that way yes. when they're making them, you know, like they can use them as references. So yeah, I'm happy to share. Am I able to share my screen?
Yeah, let me give you permission, I think. Hold on.
Okay. Because I'd love to show you guys some of like my favorites.
Yeah. All right. I think I've made you co-host, so you should be
okay. Able to- perfect. Okay, let's see.
And let me know, people, if you're able to see. I can unspotlight myself and make it bigger.
Oops, wait a minute. Okay, sorry, I didn't have my folder open. So now we're showing that. Okay, so this is one of my absolute favorites, and it's from, can you guys see this one? Sorry.
Yes, we can see it.
So this is from a film that I made called Ophelia. So the director made this, Claire McCarthy made this pitch deck, and she, you know, she created these visuals. We had already, now this was a, this is, I should, you know, mention this. This pitch deck was already in place once we had, you know, like she had made this once we had the cast already attached. So this was a pitch deck that we used for financing and sending out to distributors. And you can see like she even included like her like costume ideas that she had here. We had, you know, this was, you know, so we had Daisy Ridley and Naomi Watts attached. And yeah, so she included a lot of the visual, you know, representations that she wanted people to like, you know, just get a sense of, you know, the vibe really. Which is, you know, again, what a real pitch deck should be. And see, like actually Claudius, it was a different actor. So this wasn't even fully, you know, this wasn't even actually what it was. So, but you can just kind of get a sense of this. So this is definitely one of my favorites. And then you can see here, this is all like, you know, about the director, Claire. And then like, oh, and this is another good point that I totally forgot to mention. It's great to have a page of just, you know, examples of other comparable projects, you know, like things that you feel, you know, would compare to it. Because again, that's like another just, you know, helpful tool to like see, okay, what is the director, like what's the vibe they're going for here? Okay, I'll bring up another one.
So was that successful in getting financing? Is that what that, and then,
yes.
But you already had the director attached and she put together this.
Yeah. And
she was able to already get the actors as well.
Exactly.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful pitch deck. So when you say she made it, I assume there was also a graphic designer involved?
No, it was just her. She's just very skilled. I think her husband was also our DP, and he's also very skilled with it. So there's a program also, I should mention this as well. There's a couple programs out there that directors use. Well, a big one is Canva. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. There's another, oh my gosh, I can't forget the name of it. There's another like program that includes a lot of, you know, where you can like look up, you can, it's very like probably like AI based, where you can just kind of be like, I want to see a visual of, you know, like a castle with, you know, birds flying, and like, it'll just come up, you know? So there are a lot of those programs out there, and those are really, really, really helpful. And honestly, like, I mean, most of my directors are just very good at doing those visuals, you know, they're just very good at it. Here, I'll show another one where, again, it was just like the director was attached. They didn't have cast yet, and it was for financing. And this was a project that, again, it got made. You might have seen this movie, but this is one. So, you know, I'm not sure if anyone saw this movie, The Diary of a Teenage Girl, but this was, you know, writer director, Marielle Heller.
And I loved it.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. But you can see here, like, okay, so this is another thing that I think is a good thing you can do with your pitch book or pitch decks is have a director statement. And so the director statement is going to be different from the director's like bio. The statement is going to be, why does this director want to make this movie? Like, what about this movie is important to this director? Why they feel like it needs to be made, you know? And it should be very like, you know, heartfelt, and you know, it should be, you know, it should convince people that this is a movie that needs to be made. But you can see here, like, you know, a lot of visuals just giving you a real sense of the style. And it's funny because it really is like, you know, like when you see the movie, it feels like this. I mean, and like, that's what I loved. And that's what I loved about the pitch deck with Ophelia too. Like, if you go and watch that movie, like it feels like that pitch deck, you know? And that's why these are so important. Let's see. And like, see, this is like very little about what's actually happening. Because remember, the other thing that you have to keep in mind is you're sending this along with a script. Right? 9 times out of 10, an exec is going to flip through this pitch book first. And if they don't like your pitch deck, they won't even look at your script. They're not going to read it because they're like, meh, you know? So the pitch deck has to be that good. And you have to, you don't really want to put too much. Like, you can put in the synopsis, but don't make your synopsis like several pages long, because then you're just giving the whole script away. And I do know a lot of execs who have admitted to, I just read the pitch deck. I don't even read the script. And you're like, well, that's like not the point. And I have to say, and like, I never actually, I would always do the opposite, and I would never even look at the pitch deck until after I read the script, because I felt like it always just kind of like swayed my opinion in a weird way on the script. And I always just wanted to go into the script and like, you know, and read it like, you know, fresh. But a lot of execs will just be like, and flip through. But see how it's like I like this, how she kind of just puts like little words on the top. So it's like, you know, she's kind of just giving you a little bit of the story. Flip through here. But yeah, this was even before, you know, it was cast and anything. And then, but it, she, they did a really good job with that one.
So would they use like there's a site called Shot Deck that has like,
oh yes, Shot Deck. That was the one.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a resource that I use to
put yes.
my pitch decks, because that's got shots from, you know, you can do keywords and put yep. in movies you want to see, and there'll be still shots of Shot Deck. Really, really helpful. Yeah.
Really, yes, I love. Yes, thank you. I could not remember the name.
Can I ask a quick question about? I make documentaries. So what if there is no script? Any advice for documentary pitches?
Yeah, good question. Well, okay. Yes. So you're just gonna have a pitch deck, you know, like you're not gonna have a script. So it's really very similar. I think you probably want to put a little bit more of context into it. You know, there probably should be a little bit more. I mean, you know, there's so many different versions of documentaries, but you know, like whoever the characters are, you know, the people who are going to be in the documentary, like it's good to like, you know, have their picture and like their profile, and you know, as opposed to the characters in a like a narrative film. So it's going to be very similar, but I would definitely put a lot more of like, what is this going to be about? Because there is no script for anyone to like read, you know? So typically what I've seen, I'm trying to see if I actually have, I know I have them somewhere. I just don't know if I have it saved in the same file, but I definitely have some, you know, examples of some really good like documentary pitch decks, but very similar. You want to show the visual representation. You just want to give them more text to read, you know, to give them more context.
Can I just quickly ask about Diary of a Teenage Girl? What was the evolution of that? Because when did when did the cast come on? How long did it take?
You know, I have no idea because we didn't make it.
Oh, okay. All right.
It came to us as like a submission. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, we passed on it. It wasn't one that, you know, we loved it. Just our business model was a little bit different.
Right.
And it was just a little too small of a film for us. But it, yeah, I don't know. I think you typically, you know, in this case, I mean, I'm assuming they might have gotten financing first and then you know they went to bat. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. I really don't know. Oh, here is one. Hold on. No, wait. I don't know if this is narrative. No, it is. Okay, never mind.
We have a question sent from
okay, me. Yeah.
Good.
Hi, Lisa. Hi. I was wondering in all of this, you know, where do treatments and outlines fit in, and what part of the process do you need that prepared for presenting to somebody?
I would say if this is in you know regards to like a feature, is it like a feature screenplay?
Yeah.
Okay, then you don't need a treatment or an outline. You just need a script.
Okay.
And that's it. You know.
And for shows, you would?
For a series, yes. You would need a couple things. I always say like write the pilot, you know, like people sometimes pitch without pilots written, but now it's just very common to have a pilot to, you know, it's necessary to have at least the pilot written. And sometimes people do like, you know, the second episode as well. And then, yes, you need like you need basically a very small, you know, a couple of sentence synopsis for each episode after that of like what's going to happen. And then you need how you think the entire like series arc would go. So like we want, you know, our intention is to make 5 seasons and then this is what would happen, you know, that would all go into essentially what's called the series Bible, which then so it kind of in a way becomes like a very long pitch deck, but there's usually like less visual imagery in it and it's more just like text and you know, I mean you can include images but they're not as taken seriously as you know the feature one. And again, like series Bible is usually done totally by like the creator, which is the writer. So it's not really like a director thing the way a pitch deck is for, you know, for features.
So just to be clear, the whole idea of those outlines and treatments that they're kind of irrelevant when you're trying to come to a manager or pitch it to somebody. Okay.
Oh, so, yeah. Totally. Just send the script. There's no, I like, if I already have a client and they're working on a project, like, oh, I have this idea. Like, I see all the things. Like, they'll send me like, oh, I have this idea. Here's my, you know, here's my log line. What do you think of it? Great. Okay, great. And then they're like, I'm gonna start on the outline. They send it to me. That is a very internal, like, you know, I basically work with them as though I'm like their, you know, producing partner in a way. But we would never send that out to anybody. We always get the script done first and we rewrite that thing a million times and then we send it, we start sending it out, you know? And typically, and it just depends too. I mean, there's so many different projects. And I think, you know, in some of the later classes that we have, like you know, we go more into like, you know, how that process works, but I would never, ever, ever, especially if it's like a first time, right? Like the only people who ever get to just pitch something and get it sold are the, like, it's like Steven Spielberg, you know what I mean? Like you, like they don't, like, it's just not, no one buys like a pitch, you know, like it just doesn't, you know, that's only on the series side. And again, people think pitches on series is like, they come in, they're like, I got this idea. It's like, it's what I just told you. It's like, you've got a pilot, maybe even the second episode written, you know what everything is going to happen in every episode that season, you know, the story arc that's going to happen. Like, it's a pretty thought through process. So always, always, always write the script.
And when you said a couple sentence synopsis of each episode, that's over the first season.
Yeah. Yeah. You just need the first season. Okay. I would do, yeah. And then it's kind of like, you know, you do, you know, every episode of that first season. And then you do what's called the, you know, the story arc of the entire series. So, cause the other thing is like, as thought through as it is, I think sometimes they want some room for things to develop over the seasons, you know? So it's like, you know, it's great if you have like an amazing, like, oh my God, this is literally going to change the world with, you know, and you have every episode thought through and they're all amazing. Like that would be great. But a lot of times it's like, okay, you know, this is a very good premise and, you know, we see where you're going with this and like, yeah, like let's see how it develops. And like, cause things, you know, there's so many factors that go into it, like with casting and with, you know, I mean, there's just so many things. So yeah, it doesn't need to be every single episode for every, cause the other thing too, it's like, you don't really know how many seasons it's going to be. You hope it's as many as you want it to be, you know, but it could be one, you know? So it's good to just kind of, to think it through, but also have room for development.
Okay. And also the pitch deck that you're using for the series, it can, or rather I should say, so like for Stranger Things, mm-hmm. their deck was like this really creative,
yeah.
this is the world in which our series takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of the direction we want to go, you know?
I mean, yeah, for Stranger Things, absolutely. You know, like there's, yes. If you're doing something that's that kind of stylistic, absolutely, you know, like that, then it needs to be there. If it's something that, you know, is set in present day, doesn't have, you know, like, then you don't need to go too crazy. I have some, let me see. I think I have some series. No, okay, not in this little one. I don't, I must have them somewhere. But I do have, like, I have some, series Bibles, and like there's definitely there's always visuals, you know what I mean? It's not like you just want like a white piece of, you know, like looking at like a white page. You don't need to have it be so, that's not the most important thing of, you know, of the series Bible. The series Bible is definitely more, because again, it's coming from the creators who are typically the writers. So, you know, the Duffer brothers were different because they were really like, you know, director writers who came in, you know, and that was, you know, it's not always like that. It tends, you know, there tends to be more of that these days, but in a, you know, typical matter, it's the writer who is the creator, and then they don't usually also direct, you know, so it's someone else too, but they will come up with, you know, the visual style and work with, you know, the directors and the other producers.
Right.
And what do you think of sizzle sites, like a 1 to 2 minute short?
So this actually, okay, this is kind of the same thing as the pitch deck. It has to be so good or they're not going to even read your script. So, and it has to be so good that after they read the script, they don't go, oh, I imagined it to be so much better, you know, like, because sometimes you have a script and you've written it and it's really good and someone reads it and they've just like, you know, they're imagining like these huge set pieces and it's fantastic. And then you give them some kind of sizzle reel or like a proof of concept. And they watch it and they're like, oh, this is not what I was imagining. And now I don't like this, you know? So that happens. So, you know, my only concern with those is you have to deliver on it. You know, it has to be so good. Otherwise it kind of takes away from it. So let's see. I have some examples. I'm trying to think of like ones that were really good. Actually, surprisingly, like our Ophelia one was really good. I don't know if I have, oh my God, I wouldn't even, somewhere I have it, I think. And I could show it to you if I can find it, which there's a chance I will not. For the for series, I've actually seen it done really well, where it's more of like, it's more like the showrunner and like, you know, the creators kind of like talking, you know, and even sometimes that happens. Our, the one we had for Ophelia was Claire talking a lot, and that, and, you know, and then showing like some of the visuals like that, that worked really well. I think those actually are the ones that are the best ones, is like, you know, having them like talk.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
So I have a show that I'm pitching, but, and I'm not just a creator, I'm actually the actor in the piece.
Oh, okay.
I'm sort of having to decide, do I just go with a deck and just try and focus on the deck, or between doing the sizzle, because I would just assume, you know, cast it and shoot a nice tight little, you know, give you a slice of the pilot. And I don't know it, which would be the more advisable route to select. And I'm comfortable shooting. Like I'm actually a writer director, and most of the stuff I write is not for me.
Yeah.
But this show is. This show I wrote for me.
Right. So, no, I think that's great. I think that's great. I mean, I encourage I have a lot of clients who are like actor, writer, directors. And yeah. I think they tend to like, they almost like want to keep it separate sometimes. Like, you know, some of my actors, like, they're like, oh, well, like, you know, I do my acting, but then like, you know, when I'm directing, I don't want to like put myself into it. Like, I, you know, but I think it's great. I think some of like, you know, the best projects we've seen over the years have been from actor, writer, directors. So yeah, I think that's great. I would say, what are you asking again? Like in terms of,
so I'm asking, is it more advisable to just focus on putting together a super tight deck, you know, or do I, you know, put the effort into doing a sizzle, which will basically be the pilot, but cut down, like an abbreviated that gives you a piece of, you know, exactly the flavor. I'm in Harlem. I'm in New York City, and it's set in Harlem. It's set. Yeah. It's about a bodega. It's called a stove. That's the name of the show. The STO apostrophe, and it is about that. Yeah, you're smiling like you already know. Like,
no, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, and that's you know, people know what the show is when they, as soon as they hear the name, and that's what it is. It's set in a Black neighborhood, and it's a stove, and it's a place where all these personalities are coming through. And I'm like a retired postal worker whose sister owns the stove, but she's sick, and so she needs like a stand-in. Mm-hmm. And you know, I come up from Florida, and she's, you know, in the hospital, and she's talking to, you know, she's saying, hey, mama, and I'm looking, and there's nobody in the hospital room, but she's talking to our mother. Who are you talking to? Come to find out, the audience can see the mother knitting in the corner. So there's ghosts in it. And at the end of the episode, the sister passes away, but comes back as a spirit. And so my show involves my character, who can kind of see my sister, who's like my guide, helping me adjust to being in charge of a stove, which I don't know anything about. So I'm a fish out of water. So I'm trying to find out, like, I love pitching and I'm great at, you know, like I get a lot of great feedback, but I'm wondering is, do I do the deck and just focus on the deck? Don't even think about, you know, doing, you know, sizzle, or do I, you know, jump in on the sizzle and just cast it and like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I would do it because I'll tell you for a couple of things. You're writing this for you, right? So you already have your cast, essentially. You have your main cast. Mm-hmm. Because that's another thing. A lot of times people are doing these like sizzles or like proof of like this would be considered a proof of concept because you would be shooting something original. Like typically a sizzle reel is kind of like where you're taking like almost like other projects and like editing them together, like other like films and series and stuff to edit together and like make it seem like you know, what you're, the, and those were very popular, like I would say like 10 years ago. But now, like, so what you're talking about, and this is all, this is a little different, and I actually really like this. So it's called, it would be called a proof of concept, but it would also just be a short. It would be a short, you would essentially be making a short film, right? So there's a lot of avenues you can go with that, because not only are you doing this for the proof of concept purposes, but short films themselves can have a life of their own and a success of their own, and you can capitalize on that. And I think if you do something that's really great and, you know, you get some acknowledgement for just that thing in it, in and of itself, that helps promote your series, you know? So
maybe like a short film of the pilot, like if I could convert, just create a short out of the pilot and in something that's self-contained, but will give you that same slice, you're getting the best of both worlds. You're proving that it's funny and it's something that can stand on its own in a way.
And I would say this, I would say, keep it very contained, you know, so you can do it, because you don't want to like overextend yourself and skimp on it. So like, you know, if it's, you know, if there's a scene and it's in the bodega and you can very easily just, you know, do 10 minutes and it's funny. And has anyone seen the Sundance short winner this year? Oh my God, I forget the name of it. I'm gonna look it up for you guys, because it's so, so good and so funny. And it's literally just people sitting in a car, and it won Sundance. And it's like, and this guy's gonna, you know, the director's gonna go off and like be a superstar. I think, you know, he immediately like signed with an agency. Like it's, you know, but it's just four people sitting, like, and it's like, you know, like, I mean, people gonna like get in and out of the car, but you just never leave the car. Perfect. It's perfect. And I think it is a proof of concept. Like, I think he's gonna do a, like either like a series or a feature off of that. So like, I'm gonna find it at some point.
Yeah. Tika, the director who directed Thor?
No, this is, hold on. Let me see if I can look it up really quick. Maybe it didn't even win.
The director of Thor did a short with these two kids sitting in a car.
It was
that same kind of thing where we were just in the parking lot with these two kids, and that's where basically the whole movie is. It's a short. It was like really brilliant. So you're making me think of that. Like that's
Well, that's like, you know, I think that is the important takeaway from all of this, is if, especially when you're doing it as a proof of concept, like what, like you have to just think of that as like, what am I trying to prove? I'm trying to prove that this show is going to be funny, right? So then you have to make sure that it's very funny, you know? But, and like, but also like, maybe it's not just funny. Maybe it's like, I wanted to show that it's smart and funny. I wanted to show that it's irreverent and funny. I want to show, you know, so like, think about what you really want to prove and make sure you prove that, you know? And sometimes people need to prove that they can do really good, like visual effects. So their proof of concept is something with a ton of visual effects in it, you know? It really just has to be about, what it is you want to actually prove.
Okay. We kind of need to wrap up.
Sorry.
End of the hour, but one last question from Manjal, and then coming up then.
Yeah, thank you. So I just had a question about, I guess this might be a little bit cliche for you, but so I just finished my first feature as a director, writer. And I'm in the process of developing one doc and two fiction pieces, all of them, one of them being a show and two of them being features. So I'm trying to figure out, for somebody who is in my position right now, what would be the approach to finding meaningful representation so that it is worth somebody's time and they see enough value?
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting reps is, there's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. I think, first of all, you have to have enough content for someone to want to represent you because they have to be able to work with something. You know what I mean? Like, if you just have like one script that you're trying to sell, like there's nothing, there's not much a rep can do for you, you know? So like you have to have multiple projects that you like, you have that you're working on. You have to have, you know, it's good to have done something, you know, whether it's like, it's great you've already done a feature, like that's amazing. Like, you know, submit things to festivals, just be like, have so much stuff. And then it's, you know, again, festivals, any of the like, contact, like competitions that are out there, like, you know, the script and film competitions, there are, they're just, yeah, like putting things on Vimeo and then getting a lot of exposure on there. Like, I mean, reps, I do it, like we all are, you know, looking at those things. And then, again, personal connections, knowing someone and saying, hey, do you know any, you know, agents or managers? And that's how I get a lot of my clients, is just through friends who are like, hey, I've got this person, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much for today. It was very informative. Thank you very much. And thanks everyone.
Yeah, thank you guys. Yeah, this was super fun.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Take care.